verse 29. Appreciate you coming tonight. I know it's a good crowd for a Sunday night when it's so cold out, especially with them football games on, too. Andy, if we can get that preacher to preach and get out of here, we can get him to see that Packer game. Amen. Really, just America's Pittsburgh's not playing, so. But you still got to watch it. And the Browns aren't playing either.
Amen.
Yeah. But, you know, I love sports. I love it too much. I do love sports. So, and we get all excited. Man, I'll tell you where I really get caught was like Ohio State. Man, I'm a Buckeye, and I love Ohio State. And, boy, when they don't win, I get upset. Man, I mean, I pout and almost have a fit. I do have a fit. And you know what? When we get to heaven, none of that's going to matter at all. I mean, it's amazing how we get so caught up in stuff. And really, we ought to be caught up in people dying without Christ going to hell. Amen? And tonight I want to talk to you. And by the way, Brother Carey's brother's got a revival down in Columbus. I wish we lived a little closer. I was talking to Bill. We were talking about going there tomorrow night, but man, by the time I got out around 9:30, 10, how long would it take me? Now, how long does it take you to drive to get there? And then how long will it take me now? 3? Because I don't speed. Really? Well, we figured 2, would that be 10? But what would be? We'd be home at 12 instead of 1 or 2. I'd bring a van load of people. I know your brother would take care of it, but I was going to bring a van load of people, you know, and we'll see. How many would want to, maybe if I did go to Columbus, who would want to go with me tomorrow? Okay, that settles that. Okay, all righty. I'm not going because I had to get someone to drive. There'll be another day. Anyways, let's stand for the reading of God's word. We could all pray for the revival there. We could all pray for that Brother Fowler's revival, Brother Hudson, Tony Hudson, amen. And what he has a website on Heritage. Would the messages be on that website, on the computer?
I don't know if Tony Hudson's.
Okay, I just wondered if we could get it through that way. Someday though, your brother always comes to everything. I'd like to pack one or two vans and go down to his church and be an encouragement to them because they've come to us a lot of times.
I don't know where they're gonna put everybody right now.
Oh, that's great. That's a good problem to have. I'll tell you, I got to spend some time. That last youth rally we had, I got to spend a lot of time with your brother. He really is a great guy. Brother Fowler, he's a great preacher and a great man of God. And boy, I just hit it off with him. He's my kind of guy, Carey. And I know he's your brother, but he really is. And whether he'd be your brother or not, he's really a great guy. And that's the kind of friends I want to be with. Amen? And so anytime they do stuff, I want to let them know we're behind them. How many will at least pray for the revival? Will you pray for the revival? I will. And so let's pray for that. God will bless that revival. All righty, I want to talk to you about chameleon Christians tonight. Chameleon Christians. It's in Leviticus 11, verse 29 and 30. Glad you're here. It's a good crowd on Sunday night. And I see that hand way back there. Hi. How you doing? Is she wanting to say something? Someone's having heart surgery, I think I heard from her. Okay. All righty. Tell me the name after church, okay? And preacher will pray for him. All righty. You know, God loves those children. Amen. Suffer little children can be forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. They're just as important as we are. It ripped my heart out today when we couldn't run the buses. It just ripped my heart out. I love the kids. But today was so cold, when it gets cold, it's too dangerous, so I didn't do it. All righty, Leviticus chapter 11, verse 29. These also shall be unclean unto you among the creeping things that creep upon the earth, the weasel, the mouse, the tortoise after his kind, the ferret, the chameleon, and the lizard, and the snail, and the mole. These are unclean to you among all that creep whatsoever and does not touch them. When they be dead, shall be unclean until the evening. Let's have a moment of prayer. Father, we thank you that we can preach the word of God. And Lord, this is a thought you gave me over a couple weeks ago. And Father, it was just from David reading to little Lukey. And Lord, I pray that we could take these thoughts that you gave me and be a blessing to the people. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I just read from Leviticus 11, 29 and 30, 31. God gave a list of the creeping things that were unclean. The mouse, the weasel, the tortoise, the ferret, the lizard, the snail, the mole, and one of those mentioned there was the chameleon. This is a Parsons chameleon. I've never seen a chameleon. They're real. They got pretty colors. They change colors, and they're kind of a unique animal because they can change and adapt to all those things that are even the surroundings around them. They change color, and if they're scared, they change colors. They can actually blend in. They can blend in when any surrounding to camouflage themselves. It's amazing. God, anyone don't think there's a God in heaven? Just look at the creation. Amen. You think that chameleon is by an accident? Trust me, that's not no accident. Amen. Well, there was a week ago or so. Little Lukey got up in David's lap at the house, and he had one of the little books that they'd study in kindergarten. And he said, "Daddy, can you read me some of my book?" I believe it was an ABC book, and every letter was a certain thing. And so David said, "Okay, I'm going to read you half of it, and then we're going to do later." And so I just sat there and listened to him read. And David can read the ABC books. He's doing real great, you know. That's why he's the principal, amen. But as Brother David read to Lukey, and I watched Lukey, my grandson, one of the names that he mentioned was the chameleon. And Grandma, I just got. How many? You ever just get like someone say something, you just get a thought, and I said, "Wow!" And I ran that picture off that book. It's not copyright. I'm selling it anyway, so. You can have it for free after church. Best kid gets it, okay? And so, but I want to talk to you tonight. The Lord gave me some thoughts about the chameleon. And I want to bring a message to you about chameleon Christians. Chameleon Christians. And I hope I'll be a blessing to you. I hope you'll be. By the way, along with changing colors, that chameleon, he has a long, sticky tongue. Ray, he can see an insect out there and bring it right in. Pizza. That's a nice. Amen. But tonight, I just got a few thoughts here. But I think they're good thoughts. And I think they're thoughts that we could have and encourage our life to walk with God. Tonight I want to preach to you about the chameleon Christian. I took three people total out of the Bible. There's lots of them, but The first thing I want you to think about the chameleon Christian, they know how to blend in with shady people. It's amazing how the chameleon and the chameleon Christian, when he gets with shady people, a lot of times Christians become like a chameleon and they blend in with the shady people they're not supposed to be with. Amen? Come on, amen? And so, see, normally he's like this. But it's amazing. When he's in church, he's like this. But then when he's in the world, he's like this. You know, God always wants us to be like this, don't he? Amen? He always wants us to show our colors for Christ. Amen? So let's think about this. The first thing I thought about was a shady Christian in the Old Testament. His name was Lot, Abraham's nephew. He wasn't supposed to take him with him, by the way. So let's turn to Genesis. You're already in Leviticus. Turn to Genesis chapter 13 and verse 10. And you young people can learn from this tonight. And you older people, I think you can take this in and say, yeah, that's a good thought. In Genesis 13:10, remember when there was a strife among the cattlemen of Abraham and Lot? And Abraham said, hey, you just take it, look where you want, and wherever you want, you can take, and I'll go the other direction. And so there won't be no strife among us. If you'll see in Genesis 13:10, Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld the plain of Jordan. You know what? We better watch out where we lift our eyes to. When we get our eyes on the world, we're going to take them off of God. Amen? And by the way, one of the first steps a chameleon Christian does, they take their eyes off of God, and they put them in a place where they're not supposed to be. And so, and Lot lifted his eyes and beheld the plain of Jordan. It was watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, that cometh thou unto Zoar. And if you look at verse 13, but the men of Sodom were wicked sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Sodom and Gomorrah was I believe, even more wicked than San Francisco. And I don't think you can get too much wicked than that. The queer city of America. Lot, even though Lot knew those people were not right, he still made his home there. And already he's dropping his convictions. Already he's dropping his standards. Are you with me? And now look at Genesis 19:1. Really interesting. Here you got this Christian man, and I'm going to prove that he's a Christian in just 1 minute. Here you got this Christian man, and Abraham, the great patriarch of God, no doubt had a big effect on his life, so don't tell me he didn't know stuff. I guarantee you, Abraham taught him the things of God. Amen? He saw God working in Abraham's life. And look at 19:1. There came two angels to Sodom, even at evening, in the evening time, and Lot sat in the gate. Man, if that guy, if he's not blending in, Brother Carey, Lot, he's sitting with all of them. He's supposed to be standing out in the dark world, bright, but no, he's with shady people. And what did he do? He changed his colors, didn't he? And he became shady. He was a chameleon Christian because he became shady to live with those shady people. Are you still with me? He's sitting in the gate. He's not separated. Chameleon Christians aren't separated. They do not separate themselves from worldly people. See, the Bible says we're to come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. We're to be different. We're to be a peculiar people, a particular people. Amen? People ought to know you're a Christian. People ought to know I'm a Christian. We ought to look like Christians, talk like Christians, act like Christians, walk like Christians. Amen? I mean, I shouldn't have to say, hey, I shouldn't have to wear a nameplate, I'm a Christian. People should know by my acts and my doings that they know that man's a Christian. Well, a lot of Christians, when they're around worldly people, they don't want to witness, and they don't want to have to take a stand, so they'll shade in with them. Amen? Or oh me. And they laugh at their jokes. I never laughed at people's jokes when I had their filthy jokes. I know a lot of you have to work in the public. Years ago, I worked in a public job at Allied Chemical. At one time, there was probably over 500 people. That's not a huge factory, but that's, I mean, I know there's the General Motors and Chrysler, they have thousands. But Allied Chemical is a pretty good little plant, 500 people at one time. And, you know, I had a testimony that people didn't cuss around me and people didn't tell evil jokes. Because, see, I wouldn't laugh at them. I'd say, no, I don't want to hear it. They'd come up and say, hey, I want to tell you a joke. I said, no, I don't want to hear your joke. Unless it's clean, I don't want to hear it. Unless it's good and good data, I don't want to hear it. See, most Christians, though, go ahead and tell me a joke. Hello? Hello, chameleon? See, the real Christians say, no, I don't want to hear that filth. And said, a lot of Christians, they'll not only listen to them, but they laugh with them. People use God's name in vain, and they'll laugh with them. I'm going to tell you, that used to, man, you want to get me mad? You start using God's name in vain. Thou shalt not use the Lord's name in vain. I'm going to tell you, boy, I remember one time at Allied Chemical, this guy kept saying, GD, GD, GD. And I finally said, that's it! Boy, I got all those people. I said, that's it! Bow your head! I did. I'm not kidding you. I was kind of wild when I was a kid. And I said, I'm tired of you telling God to damn this and damn that. I'm praying right now. And I started to pray, and I did. Dear God, this man wants you to damn his soul. And damn, and boy, and I just kept praying. And he's grabbed me. Stop! Stop! They never said it again, Brother Carey. Hello? Hello? And now, preacher cussed? All the filth you listen on TV, and you're going to get mad at me and talk about me tonight? Oh, you little chameleon Christian. And I wasn't using it in a vain way. I was using what they said about the Lord. And it was offensive to me. And so I just asked God to do what they said. And Lord, would you do this? You know, if try it someday. You're out in public and the people can say, would you stop? I'd like to pray with you right now. I'm going to ask God to do what you're asking. I'm going to tell you. I'd walk in. It got quiet. Hello? Amen? We need to, listen, we need to not laugh at their jokes, and Christians ought to have convictions over right from wrong, good and evil. And when you're with the wicked, the Bible says that we're to abstain from all appearance of evil. And folks, it's about, and we're living in a time, I'm going to tell you, Christians, we need not to be shady now. The world needs to see the real colors of Christ in us. Amen? We need to shine bright and be brilliant for Christ now instead of how many believe we live in a dark world? And then the world's getting darker. Chameleon Christians aren't helping. We need to show the light of Christ. Amen? And notice with me, let me just quote this to you. Around the wicked, don't partake and be evildoers. Say, well, I didn't do it, preacher. No, you didn't do it, but you're there with them anyways. In law, you'd be under trial too because you were accompanied to it. You were partner to it. And if you don't take stand if you don't stand against it, you're for it. If anything, if you don't want to say nothing, get up and walk away. Hello? The Bible says salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not thy statutes. Why am I quoting that? For salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not thy statutes. You know why? If the Christians would stand up more, maybe they would seek the statutes. But we're all there's so many Christians that you can't even tell they're Christians in the crowd. So many chameleon Christians that the wicked just keeps on getting wickeder. We need to stand and speak out. Amen. If anything, show forth a righteousness in your life. Amen. Amen? Amen. Chameleon Christians did not have a good testimony for Christ. Do you ever notice chameleon Christians? They don't witness. They don't have a testimony for Christ. And if they do, actually, I tell chameleon Christians, don't witness. Because to me, if you have a bad testimony, your witness will say, why do I need you? You're just as bad as I am. Hello? And they don't worry about sharing Christ and witnessing for the lost. Look at Genesis 19:14. Genesis, we're still talking about Lot. Lot was a chameleon Christian. Lot went out. Remember they said, Lot, go. The angel said, Eddie, we're going to destroy destroy the city. You better go out and get your family. Get all your family together and get them out here because we're going to destroy it. Look at verse 14. Lot went out, spake unto his sons-in-law. Sons-in-law means he had daughters. And no doubt they probably had children, so he had grandkids too, which married his daughters and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto the sons-in-law. That verse always stirred me when I read that verse. He seemed as one was mocked. What do you mean, preacher? They didn't believe his story and his warnings of judgment. You know why they didn't believe his story and his warning of judgment? Because he never gave it before that. He never warned them before that. He never witnessed to them. He never was a light in darkness. And by the way, because he was a shady Christian, are you with me? His sons-in-law died, his daughters died, and don't say here, but you almost have to think they had grandchildren. His grandchildren died in Sodom. You see, I'm going to tell you something about Lot. Lot was a chameleon Christian. And Lot, I guarantee you, regretted his life being a chameleon Christian. Because that's why, if you keep reading, it said, verse 16, while he lingered. He didn't want to leave Miss Merck because he didn't want to leave his family behind. And how many think he had regrets in his heart right then? Oh, if I would have just done right by my family. But he didn't. It's because he was a chameleon Christian. His own family died and died without Christ. You know, we need to have a good testimony, not just to the world, but our own families. Because the prophet has no honor in his own home anyways. But we need to work hard in having a good testimony before our family. Amen? And they should know you know Christ as your Savior. Lot had no testimony for God at all. And to be honest with you, folks, If I'm going to read some scripture out of 2 Peter. If this scripture wasn't in the Bible, Roddy, I'll tell you, Lot was so off the wall. If this scripture wasn't in the Bible, I wouldn't think he was a saved man. Remember when the angels first came into Sodom and Gomorrah? The queers knocked on the door, give us those, and he said, take my daughters? You'd have to kill me to get my children. I mean, that guy was so deep in sin, so shaded, he was willing to give. Man, if you don't love your family, you're in trouble. Every time I think about it, it burns me up. Makes me want to bust his jaw when I get to heaven. Amen? Can't believe he'd give his own children. I'd die for my children. Fortunately, I won't remember this when I get to heaven. He'll be all right. Amen? Maybe he's bigger than me, too. I don't know. I'm sure the Lord took care of it. Amen. But if this script, I'm going to read you 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 6 to 8. If this scripture wasn't in the Bible, I wouldn't even think that guy was a saved man. He was a saved man. But he was a chameleon Christian. It says in 2 Peter 2, 6, turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with a filthy, look at that, he delivered just Lot, vexed with a filthy conversation of the wicked. He had a bad mouth just like the rest of them. He had a wicked idea just like the rest of them. Are you with me? Watch verse 8. For that righteous man, who do we get our righteousness from? Christ. For that righteous man, that tells me he was a saved man. For that righteous man dwelleth among them, and seeing and hearing vexed his right. And by the way, it witnessed to you twice. Two's the number of witness. His righteous soul. Hello? God saves our soul? From day to day with their unlawful deeds, even though he knew it was wrong and it just tore his life down. Lot, although he regretted in the end. By the way, all chameleon Christians regretted in the end. Lot was sorry for his ways. Lot made a wrong choice. Lot never spoke up for the things of God. Lot never stood up for Christ. Lot was silent and went along with the wicked ways of Sodom and Gomorrah. And by the way, we need to quit. We need to take a stand. You don't have to, listen, you don't have to speak out like the preacher. You can just take a stand and say, no, I don't want to hear that. There's ways to take a stand where you don't have to be confrontational. I'm not telling you to grab, say, I'm going to pray for you and pray down, try to pray down fire like I did. Although it worked because it scared him and everybody around me. Because they knew I knew God. They knew I could pray and get a hold of God, and they were afraid. Because they knew God could do things. God can do things. They knew things that God didn't mean while I was in Toledo. They knew something could happen. They were terrified. Hello? Lot made the wrong choice for his life and for his family. And for a long time, he was a communion Christian. And he ended up regretting it. You know, Joshua, in 24:15, Joshua said, choose you this day. We got to make a choice. Are we going to take a stand for Christ or not? And I'll tell you, the world's getting more wicked and wicked. It's getting more harder and harder. And we just need to say, I'm not going to be, I've been saved. I'm coming out from among them. Amen? Amen. And don't be ashamed that you're a Christian. Joshua said, but as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. And I'll guarantee you, if Lot could have done it over, he'd change. Amen? Then the second one, I've only got three. Peter. I told you that the chameleons, they change color to shade in with different surroundings. But also I said that the chameleon, he also changes color when he has fear. You know, sometimes we all fear. And the Bible says those that have fear, that's torment. But look, Peter had fear, and for a short time he was a chameleon Christian. Look at Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26 and verse 56. Wasn't just Peter, by the way. Matthew 26:56. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophecy might be fulfilled. Then, what are you talking about, preacher? Remember they came and got Jesus and was taking him away? Judas, remember Judas came and kissed his cheek and the soldiers took him and they grabbed him and took him off to be the Pontius Pilate? How many remember that? Caiaphas? Then all, look at this. Then all, how many disciples were there? They what? Forsook them and fled like the three stooges. They're gone. They fled. Now I want you to see something. We talk about Peter. This says all the disciples. Are you with me? Look at verse 35. I want you to see something, verse 35 there. Peter said, though I should die with thee, yet I will not deny thee. I'll never be a chameleon Christian. Are you with? I'll die before I be a chameleon Christian. Look at the last verse. Look at that last sentence of that verse. Likewise also said all the disciples. You know, we always say, oh, Pete, he... But all that was John. Oh, no, we'll die for you, Jesus. Oh, no, we'll die for you, Lord. Not just Peter. They all did it. Peter is the one that gets to hear the crow three times. But I'm going to tell you, they all said it. We'd die for you. But in verse 56, they all fled. Are you still with me? Now stay with me. Look at Matthew 26:58. Peter followed afar off. How many see that? Look up here. When you start following afar off from Christ, you mark her down, you're susceptible to be shaded. Because when you don't walk close to Christ, you don't pray, don't read your Bible, don't come to church, you don't worry about, I'm going to tell you, when you don't have standards and you don't take a stand for things, when you start following Christ afar off, oh, you're saved. You're on your way to heaven. Your sins are forgiven. They're underneath the blood. But when you start following afar off, watching the filthy programs, drinking the stuff and doing the stuff, listening to crazy music, hello? When you not just mark her down, when you start following afar off, it won't be long. You'll be a chameleon a Christian. Amen. Now watch. He started to follow afar off. What happened? And under the high priest's palace and went in and sat down with the servants to see the end. And you know the story. He denied Christ three times. While you're there, look at Matthew 26, verse 69 through 75. Peter sat without the palace. A Dasmo came unto him, saying, Thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied. I'm not a Christian. I'm not a Christian. He denied. I know not what thou sayest. When he was gone into the porch, another maid said to him, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. Again, he denied with an oath, I do not know. See, when you, what was this beginning? He was following afar off. See, we need to walk hand in hand with Christ. Amen? Scripture says if we walk in the light as he's like, we have fellowship with one another, 1 John 1:7, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And again, he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. I'm not a Christian. Chameleon. Let me in. I want to be with you guys. And after a while he came unto him and stood, and Peter said, Thou art one of them, and thy speech betray thee. Boy, you know, Peter tried to fit in, Eddie, but he had too much Christ in him. You know, as far as you can, they know, I don't think so. I think you're not one of us, amen. Then began he to curse, swear, saying, I know not the man, me the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus and said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. You know, after you become a chameleon Christian, there's only one thing you're going to do after that. You're going to regret it. And you notice he wept bitterly. How many see that? I want you to see something. Look over in Luke chapter 22. Let me show you how it started. He followed afar off, and then let me show you the next thing. I want you kids to remember this. Luke 22. You want to not be a chameleon Christian? Don't follow afar off, and don't do this. Look at Luke 22, verse 54. They took him, brought him into the high priest. Peter followed afar off. That's one, right? Look at the next step. Verse 55. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall, he sat down together. Peter sat down among them. Ruthie, we can't be among the lost. He said, you can't sit at the enemy's fires. You can't. Look at me. All your friends ought to be Christians. Also, if you know some boys that are bad and get in trouble, you need to stay away from them. And that means both of you Austies and Jimmy in the middle. Because if you run with the wrong, Grandpa, I'm not doing nothing. We won't do nothing. You will eventually. Because, see, once you start warming your life with their fires, the next thing you know, you're going to be taking the dirty alcohol. You're going to be doing the drugs. You're going to be cussing. You're going to be doing the stuff that you shouldn't be doing. Hello. I've heard people say, Preacher, I can go in bars. I just drink Pepsi or Coke. Yeah. How long? You'll drink Pepsi and Coke for a while, and the next thing you know, there'll be a day while you're sitting with their fires, and you'll say, oh, give me one. Trust me, I was an alcoholic as a young man. I know all about it. You know what you kids ought to do? I wish I could help you kids. Grandpa could help you. You should say to your heart, I am never going to let one drop of alcohol ever come in my lips. Never. Amen. I know Dr. House said he never took a drink. And one time he was tempted, and his mama was down on his knees praying for him. And he said, no, I'm not going to do it. And he threw it away. You know, you got to go. I wish I could say in my life, I never, but I can't say it. So I'm trying to warn you. Because I'm going to tell you, do you know how a guy becomes an alcoholic? One drink. I started drinking when I was like 15 years old. Thought it was cool. By the time I was 18, I had a case of beer in my trunk of my car all the time. Was afraid to be without it. I'd go to bars and close them out, and we just sat there and filled the. I'd say leave the bottles, and I wouldn't leave till I had the whole table filled with bottles, empty. I've been there. I know all the fights and all the danger and all that because I've been there. I was talking to Brother Cooge or someone. It's a miracle. Brother Andy, if God wouldn't have saved me, I would have been dead by now. You need to understand from a guy that's been there. You kids all say, I'm never going to drink alcohol. I'm never going to. Listen, you know what? I've been on both sides, so I know. Oh, you can get happy on alcohol. Yeah. I was the kind of guy that always got happy. My buddies, they always got mean and usually end up getting fights with people. Then you wake up the next day with all bruises and all kinds. You didn't have no money. You're ripped up. You didn't know what happened to you. Hello. That was a blast. Headaches swirling. You can't. Oh, my head hurts. You puke your guts out for hours at a time. Oh, that's just a blast. It's a fun. Oh, you're missing out on it. And then I got saved, Josh. And I've got more high and excited and happy about Jesus. I've been on a spiritual high with Jesus for over 30 years now. I'm going to tell you, I've been more excited with Christ than I ever was with a Labatt beer. Amen? Amen? Some of you kids have never drank alcohol. Nat, you've never touched you should say you're just like your mommy. You said never touch alcohol. I don't think your mommy ever touched alcohol in her life. Say, I'll never drink alcohol or drugs. Stay away from it. I'm going to tell you right now, you do that. Once you start getting, he got at the, Peter was going to definitely fall. He's already far off. Then he starts getting warming himself at the fires at the wrong camp. If you start living and doing things where you're not supposed to be, you're going to fall. And you're going to say, oh, well, it doesn't matter. It does matter, though. You talk to a lot of people that went through that. They'll tell you. Yeah. I hope you will not ever be a communion Christian. And Peter got by the fires of the enemy. And you can't sit and commune with the fires of the enemy. Peter tried to he tried to be a chameleon, but you know what? He couldn't blend in. He had too much Christian. Amen? And so he did for a short time. He did. And then lastly, on the flip side, I gave you an Old Testament character, chameleon. I gave you a New Testament Peter. Now let me give you the flip side. Judas Iscariot. He was not a Christian, but he tried to blend in with Christians. There's people who come to church, they say they're Christian, but they're not really Christian. They're a chameleon. They're a chameleon lost person. Hello? But you know what? Judas was found out. And you know what? You're always found out. Look at John 6:70. Look at, real quickly as we finish this off. John 6:70. Jesus said, have not I chosen you 12? One of you is a devil. He was talking about Judas. You're not going to fool God. You're not going to fool God. He's got your number. In John 10:27, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. He knows them. He knows who it is. 2 Timothy 2:19. Jesus, the Word of God says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. God knows. You might be able to fool preacher, you might fool other, but I'm going to tell you, Judas couldn't fool. Judas had everybody fooled but Jesus. Matter of fact, even at the Lord's Supper, he said, and I don't believe Judas took the Lord's Supper. I believe he left before. I believe he literally left before the Lord. Jesus said, "I'm going to give this to stop." And he said, "What you got to do? Go do quickly. Get out of here." And so there's a lot of people today, Christians. There's people. There are Christians trying to blend in with the lost, and there's some lost trying to blend in with the saved. It's amazing. Now, as I close this out, let me say this. Christians, this world's getting more trying every day. Gas is $3 a gallon. And I believe before 2008's up, it might be $4. Grandma and you and I were younger. I remember buying a loaf of bread for 10 cents. I remember buying gas for $24.9. 4 gallons of gas for $1, and they gave me change back. And I'm not lying to you. That's how old preacher is. You got a relic here, don't you? Hey, you know what? I'm a vintage. I'm a collectible. Think about it that way. See, our preacher's vintage. He's so old, he's vintage, like those shoes, Chuck Taylor. I'm a Chuck Taylor preacher. I'm a vintage. Amen? I remember we used to buy 3 loaves of bread for $1. I remember when milk was less than $1, a gallon. Hello. Hamburger, 49 cents a pound. Hello. How many remember that? Not many, but the old one. Now watch. The food prices are going to be going up. The gas prices will be going up. And there's going to be all kinds of things going up. And there's going to be all kinds of wickedness. I believe Christ is coming back in the near future. Amen. He could come while I'm preaching. It would make me excited if he did. But I'll get this done. I got to quit. I could keep going, though. I was talking to a lady yesterday. She said the church she used to go, that's why she goes to Bethel now, by the way. She said they forbid her to read the book of Revelation. They said it doesn't apply to us. Woo! And she said that they didn't believe in the rapture, that church that she used to go to. And I said, wow, I'm glad you left. And I said, I'll bet you what they're teaching. There used to be, there was a teaching, Andy and Josh, that's called amillennian. And what they teach is this. See, we're pre-millennials. We believe that Christ is going to come before the millennium. Millennium means 1,000. And so we believe he's going to come before that. We're pre-millennials. They're amillennials. They actually believe, Bobby, that the world's going to get better and better and better and better and better. And literally, it's going to get so good, they're going to usher in the kingdom. That's what they taught. Can I tell you something? The world's not getting better and better and better. It's getting worse and worse and worse. And Jesus said it would. And that's why he's going to pull us up in the rapture. Amen? We need, in these trying days that are going to be ahead of us, I think we're going to have a great year, Jack. I think we're going to have trials, but I think we're going to grow here. I think we're going to grow numerically. I think we're going to grow spiritually. I think I'm going to get closer to God. I think we're going to have a great time in 2008. I'm excited about this year. And, I think we're going to have challenges. I'm going to see some things probably that I don't want to see, but I know Jesus is coming. Amen. Now, listen, Jesus said this in John 16:33. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome. Amen? Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. And this is the victory. Even our faith. Now let me say this and I'm done. Chameleon Christians. Let me tell you two more things about chameleon Christians. One, people are Baptist preachers are being afraid to call themselves Baptists. Do not be ashamed of what you are. Do not be ashamed of your heritage. Do not be ashamed of this King James Bible. People are ashamed. Well, I've got a different Bible now. No, I'm going to stay the one God gave us. And Ronnie, we're seeing a lot of chameleon Christians today with their NIVs, K-E-Y-M-O-U-S-E. We're seeing the Bible churches and all kinds of off-the-wall churches, and that's why you get all those false teachings. Do you know why they call a Labrador Retriever a Labrador Retriever? Because he has special traits. Do you know why they call a German Shepherd a German Shepherd? Because he has particular traits about him. They don't call a poodle a beagle because a poodle doesn't go boo, 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 after a rabbit. And a poodle doesn't have hair like, and a beagle don't have a hair like, I saw a cute little poodle. Somebody had a little black poodle yesterday. One of the houses we went to, I can't remember. Somewhere we had a little black poodle. I don't know which one it was, Mac. Was it Morris? It was a Morris, yeah. They were here this morning. He and her husband came with her. And they had a little, cute little black poodle. They had a little curly hair. Well, did you ever see a poodle with, did you ever see a beagle with curly hair? No, they're different. That's what they call a poodle, and a beagle, a beagle, because they have identifying distinguished characters about them, characteristics. The reason we're Baptists, we have distinctions. When you say Baptist, they say, oh boy. Those guys have been causing trouble for years. John the Baptist and all the rest of them. Hellfire and brimstone. Got to get baptized in immersion. Man, separation. Takes all the stuff that we like to do away from us. Tells me to put tithe in. Those Baptists, they're hard. Doesn't like wild music. Hello? See, I'm not ashamed. I'm going to be there till the day I die. And there's a lot of people, though, today they're being communion. They're communion Christians and they're communion preachers. And they're not what they're really. They're blending in with the world to try to bring a crowd. We're not going to blend in to bring a crowd. I say this. I have to quit. There's a statement. I wrote it down here somewhere, but it goes something like this. You've heard this statement. Now I know where they stand because they showed their colors. Yeah. Now I know where they stand because they showed their colors. What color are you tonight? Are you shading in with the world? Or are you proud of your colors? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time we had. Thank you for David reading that to his son. A little thought. It was a good thought. It's a thought for us to think about. We can learn from the creation. And Father, I pray tonight we will not be chameleon Christians. But we'll be Christians that will shine bright for Christ and into a dark world that's perishing. Help us to be Christians that are not ashamed of you or ashamed of your Bible, not ashamed of convictions. Help us not to be ashamed when, help us to say no, it's wrong when people talk about abortion. Tell them it's murder. Help us to take a stand on all the things that you tell us are right. And help us not to be ashamed to stand. Help us not to be ashamed of our Savior. Too many Christians trying to blend in so they can get along with the world. Father, I just want to show forth your colors. Help us to manifest the light of Christ. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed before we go home tonight, maybe you've been giving in to some things. Maybe you've been like Peter or Lot or one of the disciples. And you'd say, "Preacher, I'll be honest with you. God spoke to my heart tonight. I've not been doing good in the world. I've been a chameleon Christian. Pray for me. I need to start not being so shady with my Christianity." Who'd say that? Pray for me. Just raise that hand. Pray for me. Yes, sir. God bless you. Yes, sir. God bless you. Took courage. God bless you. Yes, God. I see that. That took courage. God bless you. Preacher, I've been a shady. Yes, ma'am. I see that. Include me in that prayer. I've been a shady Christian. I've been a chameleon Christian. People have been seeing the wrong image of Christ through my life. Pray for me. How many could say, "Pastor, I know for sure I'm saved. I know I'm saved, and if I die, I'd go to heaven." You know for a fact. Could you raise that hand? "I'm sure I'm saved. Thank you." May put him down. Would there be any tonight? Would there be anyone here tonight say, "Preacher, I'm not sure if I died. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Would you pray for me?" Anyone like that tonight? Just raise your hand and put it back down. "I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven, but I'd sure like to know. Pray for me." Yes, God bless you, sir. I see that hand. That took courage for you to do that. God bless you. Maybe you're looking for a church and you say, "Pastor, I'm seeking God's face about joining a church. Pray for me." Just lift your hand and say, "Just pray for me. I'm seeking God." Yes, see that. God bless you. Who else? "I'm seeking the Lord's will." Heavenly Father, I pray with all my heart that you'd help us to have a stand for you. Help us not to shade in with the world. Help us not to blend in and become part of the world, camp at their fires, sit in the gate of the wicked. Lord, help us to come out from among them. Help us to be separate. And help us not to be ashamed. Help us to stand. Be of good courage, knowing that we've overcome, that victory's ours. Lord, there was hands on both sides. And I pray for every person that raised their hand and every thing that we said, Lord, I pray that you'd help them. Please help them. Work in their lives and give them victory, I pray. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. We'll sing a verse.